Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What's the most resilient parasite?
Prime Time with Isaac and Sue.
Can build cities, can transform the world, and rewrite all the rules.
That's what I'll be doing every single night.
Which is why...
No, 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 no!
I have to steal it.
What are you talking about, Willis?
This is Prime Time with Isaac and Sue.
It's going to work. It's passable, okay? This isn't terrible.
The best in local, regional, and national sports.
With no hidden agenda.
Primetime with Isaac and Sue on 1080 The Fan.
All right, nice to have you along. Hot and smoky little Thursday. It is 4 o'clock. And for the second week in a row, prompt, even early.
That's what he does.
It is time for our weekly chat with Oregon coach Dan Lanning, now brought to you by Unitas Community Credit Union. Like a coach's playbook, Unitas has a winning strategy for your finances. You, us, Unitas. Coach, how's the week?
Yeah, good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great. You know, we were just talking about Texas and Michigan playing this week. And before we get into some football stuff, you guys innovated Oregon, the uniforms and everything. But when you think of iconic college football uniforms, what school comes to mind?
Good question. I mean, I guess you think of like the Steady Eddies that kind of always wear the same things, right? The Alabamas, the Penn States, the USCs that always wear, you know, kind of those same throwbacks that you've seen for so long, you know, even at Georgia for a long time, they kind of wore the same thing forever. But yeah, I always think back to the teams that kind of changed the spectrum, like Oregon, Oklahoma State, when they started to come out with some stuff that was a little bit different. That's also something that sticks out to me.
Yeah, it's kind of cool that in college football you get the kind of the best of both worlds, right? You got some of that tradition, and then, you know, you got the kind of a new way of doing things, and it kind of all blends together.
A lot of ways to skin a cat, right?
Yeah.
What was William Jewell? What were they wearing?
I don't know what brand it was. I mean, it wasn't Nike. I can promise you that, like Russell or something. It's pretty steady, pretty plain, you know, red and white letters, man. Nothing special.
Red, white, black, right?
Yeah, red, white, black. I think we had Russell athletic gear. We were rocking, you know, I remember wearing the old gray shirts, like cutoff shirts with Russell shorts for like
nice
walkthrough training and practice stuff, you know.
You know, I just found out recently, because I went to KU, I'm from Kansas, and I just found out that Bill Snyder, the legendary Kansas State coach, he's a William Jewell guy.
Baby.
Yeah.
Wow.
Do you
That's
have
right.
a, you have a relationship
yeah.
with him?
I don't really have a relationship. He spoke at my commencement speech for my graduation at Jewell, so I always remember that. I've talked to him a couple times, but I wouldn't say I have a relationship with him. Obviously, a guy like me, you know, I hold him in high regard. He's one of the best to ever do it, and did it at a place that was really hard to do it, and turned it into a, you know, a really good program.
Do you have a guy like, I mean, when you're coming up, did you have someone when you first started in the business? I mean, with, you know, Saban, I mean, I know you worked under some really good ones in Kirby, but was there a guy that you looked to and said, like that's what I want to be?
I don't know if there ever was one of those necessarily in particular. I mean, obviously got to work for some great ones, but I don't know if I ever looked at him and said, you know, that's where I want to be compared to somebody else.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, we had a coach, you know, a prominent coach in college football this last week. You know, he's slamming his fist on the table and he's, you know, he's pointing fingers at his players. I respect this about you. It really seems like you try hard to lift up rather than tear down. And I know in football, you know, I mean, it gets
it's emotional,
intense and emotional. But how careful do you have to be when you're a leader of men? How careful do you have to be about lifting up versus tearing down, especially when you're a little hot under the collar?
I mean, everybody, I think what you have to do is you have to be you. You have to be who you are. And there's a lot of ways to do that. I certainly try to do it what I think is best for our team and communicate what I think is best for our team. But all of it falls back on, you know, me. And if things don't go right, that's my fault. If things go right, that means the players did something right, right? And the coaches did something right. So you got to give credit where credit's due. So you wear it, right? And I think every coach ultimately has to figure out what makes their team click the best. There's a lot of ways to coach and a lot of ways to have success. So I just try to do what I think is best for us and our program here.
I don't know if I've ever seen a game quite like this. If I told you going into that game, 31 first downs to 10, 83% completion percentage, 380 yards, 487 yards to 217 yards, 2 of 12 on third down you hold them to, I mean, that's a 50-point win. I know sometimes weird stuff happens. So when you go back and watch the film, is that the strangest film that you've watched as far as stats versus results?
It's definitely up there, you know, but the results are exactly what happened, right?
Yeah.
Like, I think a lot of people like to live in hypotheticals. Like, the truth is, that's exactly how the game played out. And, you know, you had two opportunities to score there going into half. We turned the ball over once. We missed a kick on another one. You don't come out and score at the beginning of the second half. You have some success. You kind of shoot yourself in the foot. But the stats are reality, right? That's exactly where it's at. And that's why, you know, stats matter, but stats also don't matter. Execution matters. Finish matters. And we didn't finish in some critical situations to be able to put points on the board or keep points off of it.
When you went back, how close was it? Because I remember, I mean, obviously that we had the one deep pass just outstretched on at the beginning of the game that was half a yard too much. James had one where it looked like the turf monster got him, another one maybe his calf cramped. It looked, at least from kind of a layman's view, it looked like there were a handful of times that it was a sliver away. Is that kind of what the film showed, or was there more to it?
Well, that's generally football. You know, that's generally how football works. It's a game of inches, and you might be an inch away from having some big explosive plays one way or the other. But that's what makes that game so great is 11 guys in sync in unison and, you know, operating at a really high level and creating plays like that.
This is Oregon coach Dan Lanning with us here on The Fan. 4th and 7 late in the game. How much consideration, if any, was given to taking points there before the penalty?
Yeah, it was a thought, but you know, if you actually look at that situation, I think I'm talking about the same situation that you are. You know, 6 points doesn't really help you that much there. You know, so I mean, that would have put us up 6, where you know, 7 puts you up 2 scores. You know, and to me, the value in that was a lot higher.
Yeah.
Obviously, I think we got them to jump off sides and made it a 4th and 2, and I think that made it a lot easier decision, right? But yeah, and is that the one you're talking about?
Yeah.
Game 1.
Yeah. Yep. The 4th and 7.
I mean, so we turn it into a 4th. We start off as 4th and 7, then turn into a 4th and 2. Correct.
Yes.
Yeah.
After the jump.
Yep.
Right. So I mean, the 4th and 2 makes it a lot easier. But that was the thought process there. Is had a hard count. They jumped a couple times on hard count before. Try to make it a 4th and 2, but also had a play that we liked on 4th and 7 where we felt like, you know, 7 points there ultimately made it.
Yeah.
A 2-score game, as opposed to if you kick a field goal, they come down, score a touchdown, they win, right? And yeah, you could hold them to a field goal and be a tie and go into OT, but that would be the 7 points is worth a lot more in my mind in that situation.
So it was something designed. You tried to draw them off sides on that to make it shorter.
Absolutely, yeah.
How would you describe your decision-making process or philosophy on 4th down? I know you've certainly been consistent with it the last couple of years. Is it more feel? Is it collaborative? Is it analytics-driven? Like, how would you describe it?
Yeah, all that. I mean, all those things, right? There were times in the game that analytics would have told us that we should have gone for it, and we didn't. There's times in the game where ultimately we felt really good about, like, the call we had. You know, you had the fake punt there. That was one that we wasn't necessarily would be an analytics and a go situation. It was close to that, but We felt like the fake punt would have been effective. We didn't block out on the corner, and when you don't execute it right, it doesn't matter, right? It's not going to be successful. So if we get out to the corner with our edge, then we'd have an opportunity there for first down and keep the ball moving.
Obviously, you guys take a lot of pride in the run game. I'm an old lineman. We take pride in running the ball. Every old line takes pride in running the ball. So obviously, that was kind of the shortcoming. And last week, how much of a personal thing did the guys up front feel about that one?
Yeah, I mean, I think it bothered them that we didn't play to our standard for sure.
Give us the Dan Lanning scouting report on Boise State. What are they bringing to the table?
Well, they can run the ball. There's no doubt about that. Obviously, their tailback's really special. One of the best I've seen since I've been here. I mean, probably the best I've seen since I've been here. I think he's an NFL guy, no doubt. Run game. I mean, they have a offensive coordinator who obviously has a lot of experience in the NFL. A lot of their offensive play calling models, kind of that NFL model. You'll see some bigger personnel sets, some shots downfield. Defensively, they give you a lot of different looks, a lot of variety. I think it makes it hard to kind of dictate exactly what they're in every single play. And they do a good job of playing hard. They got some experienced guys that attack the ball on the defensive side of the ball. So, and then really specialist units, really solid too. Their field goal kicker has been extremely accurate. You know, over time, their punter's done unbelievable job of like flipping the field and avoiding punt blocks. So they've got a really good unit.
With the transfer portal and all the turnover and even young guys playing more early, how much harder is it to know what you have when you enter a season?
I don't know. It's probably about the same as it is every year. I don't know if you ever know what you have until you start playing some games.
Yeah, and I think that would be the follow-up, is that it sounds like maybe you just never really know, right? I mean, it's just each year is different and new guys, and you never know how they're gonna play.
Yeah, I mean, I think you kind of have a general feel for it, what you think it'll be, but that doesn't mean that's what it's going to be, right? So that's why you play the games.
You get time to watch Chiefs Ravens tonight. I believe your Chiefs.
Yeah, hopefully I'll get a chance to sit down and check it out for a little bit. We'll see. Got some phone calls to make, some recruiting calls to make, but hopefully get an opportunity to pop it on for a little bit.
All right, and then one last question, because this is something we always try to ask you, one question that doesn't pertain to football. We want to know if you keep anything odd in your car, because we were talking about keeping toothpicks.
I keep a beard comb in mine.
Yeah, things like that. Do you keep anything odd in your car?
You know, I would say that was like, this is a good example of like a change in my life. Whenever I was, you know, the 16, 17 college kid, my car was kind of a mess. Mm-hmm. It didn't ever look good. Like my car now doesn't have anything in it except for when I get in it, you know, me. That's it. I keep the car clean.
Really?
So car's clean. Yeah, the way you do anything is the way you do everything. That's like a small example, at least in my life, is if you look at my car now, you're like, okay, this guy takes care of his business. So
right.
I try to keep the car clean. My wife says it's because I don't drive the kids around that I don't have to deal with all the stuff in the car.
Yeah,
but I beg to differ. I think I try to do a good job. When I get out of the car, if there's something in it, when I get out, it's not in there anymore.
You got to admit, though, that like there's nothing scarier than the third row of a car, like a van or an SUV that has kids in it. Like that's... I think that's where like COVID starts. There's always like a stick. There's like a sucker on the back, and it's just there's. I don't think it's possible to keep the third row of a kid of a family car clean.
It's tough. It's tough. I know the boys, when they get in my car and we go on a ride, I'm always the stickler after we get out to take everything you bought in the car back out.
Hallelujah. I do that with my wife, too. It drives her crazy. But I'm like, come on, just take it. You brought it in there. Take it out of there.
That's because it's once in a while pretty thing. Simple. It's not an everyday thing.
Pretty simple. That's right. And now that's I'm right. Assuming that along these same lines, your closet is pretty dialed and like shoes are in order and everything like that.
Yeah, for the most part. Kind of running out of room when it comes to shoes. I got too many shoes. So yeah. I have to figure out something there. Oh, but it's the closet looks, you know, and I can't take credit for. That's 100% Sophia does an awesome job keeping the closet looking awesome for me.
Might need a bigger house.
Time to upgrade, coach.
No, I'm good. I promise you that. I'm good.
All right. Thank you, and good luck this weekend against Boise State.
All right. Appreciate it, guys. You have a good one.
Yep. We'll talk to you next week. That is Dan Lanning each Thursday at 4, brought to you by Unitas Community Credit Union. Like a coach's playbook, Unitas has a winning strategy for your finances. You, us, Unitas.
Does not shock me. Clean car guy.
Yeah, it doesn't shock me at all either.
No, that's...
That guy's not messy in any way.
Dude's right down the middle.
All right. Appreciate Dan Lanning and always prompt. Coming up next, the Bengals take an L today. We'll get into that when we return on The Fan.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
You might think financial crime is all about money, but sometimes it ends in murder. I'm Nicole Lappin, host of Money Crimes, a Crime House original podcast. Each episode features a thrilling story about the dark side of finance and how to protect yourself from it. Follow and listen to Money Crimes, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Prime Time with Asachi and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
It's Division I football!
It is Division I football. Ducks, Boise State, 7 o'clock on Peacock.
Yeah.
On Saturday night.
Catch the fever.
Yeah. That's going to be one of those I might fall asleep. But I'll pick it back up in the morning. Sunday morning. After golf, of course.
Of course.
I'll be hosting the post-game show till 1 a.m. on Sunday morning.
So. God, nice. I remember those. I used to do the Pac-12. I used to do a Pac-12 and then a Duck recap show. But we had to wait until the last Pac-12 game was over when we did the whole Pac-12. And so it was, there were some nights we'd go on the air on Comcast. We'd go on the air at like 12:30.
Whose decision was that? Why do you have to wait for the last game?
It's a law, you know, because you can't show the highlights.
Oh,
you know,
gotcha.
It's a rights thing. So, yeah, there were definitely woes where sometimes you get those Pac-12 After Dark games that would go into overtime or, you know, two teams that threw the ball a lot, like Washington State, like Mike Leach. Dude, you just sit there and watch the clock turn, and you're like, oh, my God, it's going to be a late one.
I think I about called you Buckley. Schulte.
Best compliment he's ever gotten.
If you're hosting the Ducks post-game show and it's late, super late like that, I think calls would be dynamite.
Yeah, you think?
Everybody's loaded.
A couple of drunkies, least in the passenger seat on the way home while they're coming back from
Eugene. I'll tell you right now, we don't do calls. In fact, we started the whole don't do calls. Now no one does on the show, but it's not a good old post game to me unless you're taking a call from, you know, Steve in Scapoose,
who's drunk and a little emotional.
Exactly. And just that's what I want.
That's
from my post game.
Please
show.
Do that for us.
Yes.
I'll consider it. It's just Will and I, but I'll consider it.
Oh, even better.
Every now and then, like you're driving back from a Mariner game, because I'll do that sometimes. You go up and then I'll drive back that same night instead of getting a hotel. And so it's, you know, it's 11:30 at night. And I'm like, what the hell? I'll flip on over it.
It's great.
Sue from Bellevue calls in.
Why are the Mariners never able to get to the playoffs?
I love it. I love it. Why don't they get that Ohtani guy? I hear he's good. I love those.
Well, the only requirement if you're screening calls or whoever's screening calls for you is make sure whoever is calling in is housed.
Yes.
It's like how many beers? Three?
Four? Not enough. Have two more and call us back.
you gotta start the post game with at least five. Come on.
Here's a text of the Vancouver Ford text line. Can you imagine the collective Duck fan if Dan Lanning puts his house on the market? It's all your fault.
Well, look, what he has to do is buy, because he doesn't have to sell a house to buy another one like a lot of people do. So he has to buy a house, and then when he buys the bigger house, then he can sell the other one.
How about that? Yeah. He's running out of room for his shoesies.
Well, my guess is when you're the head coach of Oregon, there's probably too many shoes. Like, you got to thin the herd a little bit.
Is it? I mean, I've never even thought about this, but do you think, not with just him, but just the whole Oregon program, do you think that the Goodwill in Eugene is the greatest offshoot place to buy shoes?
Boy,
it's got to be.
I didn't even think about that, but that's a really good one.
Or Beaverton.
Well, like, I know a couple of ex-Duck players that when they get done, they, like, I forget who it was. Maybe it was Nick Cody. We had a couple of them that listened to the show, and I think it was Nick that literally tweeted out, because all his stuff would have been like 3 and 4X and he had lost weight. He just said, hey, if anyone wants 3 and 4X duck stuff, just let me know. I mean, you just end up with bags of it. It's like when I played, you didn't get anything. You got like 3 things. Oregon, each one of those players has so much gear, let alone coaches. And yeah, you get new stuff every year. I'm guessing you're right. The Goodwill is probably the greatest duck store. The Eugene Goodwill is the greatest place to buy Oregon gear.
I went into the equipment room about 7-8 years ago there at Autzen, and yeah, it's bins upon like walls of bins of stuff that they give to the players.
Well, I was thinking just shoes, but you're right. It's probably all gear.
This is gear.
Now, what month do you think would be best to go? Is it probably after football, or is it right after school's out?
It's probably right after football, because you get new stuff every year, but my guess is you're not thinning the herd in the middle of football season. But like come January and you're sitting around, you're like, oh my God, I got all this crap from this year and the stuff from last year, and I'm going to get more stuff here in a couple months. I'm going to say like, yeah, Christmas, January, I'm guessing you go to the Goodwill and there is a butt ton of Oregon gear.
I don't know if anybody caught the follow-up to the whole Jonathan Smith gear ending up at Goodwill, you know, after he took the Michigan State job, but recently had said that, like, that was actually kind of part of, like, a yearly donation. Yeah. He's just still got so much Beaver stuff, kind of what you guys are talking about. You just have to offload some of it, and that was right around January. And he said, once again, in that a yearly thing in that quote, so I would hope, and you guys, I'm literally writing this all down as you're saying this, like, I would hope every January there's that Goodwill, you know, like Surplus and Eugene or Corvallis. Schultz, and
I hate to break your heart, buddy.
I'm going to be there. I need all of these clothes.
I hate to do this to you, buddy.
Uh-oh.
It ain't fitting you, man.
He buddied you. Oh, what?
I don't
know. I'm not saying a large from Jonathan Smith. I don't want a Beaver sweatshirt, bro.
Schultz, I don't know if this stuff, I'm not sure that you're the archetype for the gear.
Really? I'm literally wearing Mariners like player
gear.
We didn't
need
whatever.
That. Sukanik?
What the hell are you taking shots
at
me for?
He can't control himself.
Don't!
He cannot control it.
A, you can't state facts as if they're insults. And B,
that's right.
I'm not a professional athlete.
That's right, Schultzy.
And B,
get on his ass.
I still want to wear it.
So
it's about the comfort.
I want Schultzy to come in like in a 3.
Dude, he is going to kill you. He is going to murder you. Please don't shoot me.
No. Love you guys.
Yeah, I'm great.
Love you both.
It's thinned out over the years, but I used to have a sweet collection of the Wilcox family, because Justin bounced around a bunch. So Justin was at Boise State. He was at Tennessee. He was at UW.
Washington, yeah.
And then Cal. So some of the stuff I've kind of thinned out, but for like, there was like a 10-year run there where I had so much workout gear that was all just from Wilcox. So I, every summer, whatever, we'd end up like going golfing, or I'd end up hanging with the Wilcox brothers, and I would always end up with a bunch of stuff. And so I would always get hey, are you a Tennessee fan? No, just got some Tennessee stuff.
I forgot
stuff.
He was at Tennessee.
Yeah, it was Tennessee.
Did you wear his headset too?
I did not have his
running
headset.
On the treadmill with his coaching headset.
But I usually got a set of workout clothes, or like a nice golf pullover from wherever he went. And I got some good Cal stuff.
Well, PSA out there to any P1s that have like surplus Mariners or surplus Ducks
here
gear.
We go.
Just drop it off at my door.
Groveling for Mariners gear.
No, I'm
Schultzy, you've reached a new low.
I'm groveling for people to clear their garages out of shirts they bought 5 years ago, never put on, and I'll take them.
Schultzy, I'll hook you up with some Cal Under Armour. I got a bunch of it. You want some Cal gear?
Yeah, I feel nostalgic about the Pac-12. Sure, why not?
Hey, it's the ACC now. Come
well,
on.
Radio guys have a reputation for, we love free stuff.
Yeah, it's...
You know, we get a lot of free stuff.
It can be problematic.
We love it. I took some free batteries.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we have all the batteries.
Well, we
had
a bunch of battery exchange batteries that were in the bags for our golf tournament, for our players at the golf tournament. They had a bunch left over, so I'm like, well, I kind of need some double A's.
Look. I'm going to say
took
this.
Took some home yesterday.
And this isn't directed at anyone in particular.
And yes, I'm admitting theft.
Oh, yeah. But look, I may have taken
a
couple.
Hey,
there's like.
Well, I know you did. You always do.
There's like 1,000 of those things.
Yeah. If you leave something sitting in your office, just out in the open, if you don't want somebody to take it, particularly after months, you have to put a sign.
Yeah.
Or send an email.
The two things. One, the best thing that I have going that falls into this category is when we were leaving the old building, when we were leaving the Bancroft building, they took all the old promotion stuff and when they were cleaning everything out and they just stuck it on the ground and it was there. And they were like, hey, if anyone wants this, come take it. And if not, we're going to donate it. And I don't know what this was for, but there were like Schick razors, like nice ones. And there was two boxes of them. And I was like, well, if no one grabs those, I'll, because I originally took like a handful of them. And then no one took them. And it was the last day that we were leaving the office. And there were two boxes. So in my garage, I think I have, and I'm not exaggerating, I probably have 1,500 like Schick or Mach 5.
I think they're Bics.
Bics?
Yeah.
But they're the nice ones.
Like, I took a few myself.
Yeah.
They're pretty good.
I have like 1,500 of them. I shave my head like once and then I just throw them away. I'm like, screw this.
An embarrassment of riches
when it comes to those. Yeah. That's probably the best thing that I've ever got. But this is not directed at anyone in particular, but this is to radio people.
Here it comes.
Just because it's free doesn't mean you need to wear it. That's all I'm going to say.
So true.
Just because someone gives you a free t-shirt does not mean that you have to wear that t-shirt. And you know who you are. You know. It's okay to say thanks.
I got a thing about t-shirts. I'm wearing a t-shirt right now. But most of the time I don't wear t-shirts out and about. Yeah. I just have them at home, wear them around the house and stuff. Yeah. And I actually refuse to buy like clothes that I'm going to be just wearing around the house. I don't want to buy that stuff. Yeah. I just want that because it's like, why? I'm just lounging around.
Yeah.
So I have a lot of free t-shirts that I just wear around the house or when I'm gardening or out there putting.
Sure.
Yeah, still got like old stations that I used to work for. I got t-shirts I wear around the house, but I'm never going to wear them out.
Just saying.
I got my 1080 shirts. The Fan polo shirts.
You do not.
No, I don't.
No.
Those went to the Goodwill.
Yeah.
Somebody got real lucky.
Yes. Yeah. I found one, or I had a buddy of mine found, we used to have, he used to give us jackets, like decent jackets with the 1080 the Fan logo on them. Yeah, those went right to the donation bin. And I had a buddy of mine send me a photo of a double XL, because the Goodwill is right by my house.
Huh.
He sent me a photo of, there was like five things in a row, all with 1080 the Fan logos, double XL. And he just started laughing. He goes, you? And I was like, yeah, it has to be you. That's probably
you're the only double XL guy.
Yeah.
But wouldn't it be funny if Goodwill got those and they're like, yeah.
No.
Yeah, we can't put this out.
So somewhere out there, someone, I would think, is walking around with a bunch of old 1080 of the Fan gear.
Probably some homeless guys.
That you bought it. I don't know what they were charging for those, but, you know, if you were at the 164th Goodwill, score.
All right, well, there's a segment pertaining to nothing. You are welcome. I was gonna talk about the Bengals story today. I don't know if you saw that. I'll have to do that at another time today on our show, but have you seen the big Bengals news today?
The Bengals taking the L?
Yeah, they took an L today, for sure. The franchise did.
Oh, is this? Yeah. Okay.
Their players.
Yeah, I think I know of what you speak.
So somebody took a photo of their players walking across a street in order to attend practice, mm-hmm. a very busy street. Well, the Bengals didn't like that, and because people were making fun of the fact that they had to walk across a busy street to get to practice.
Yeah.
And so the Bengals have now said that you're... media is no longer allowed to take photos or video of them walking across the street.
Oh, my God.
So the Bengals are now getting more heat.
I thought that was...
No, that's real.
Yeah, I thought that... So there was the other L that I was talking about was apparently they're selling TVs. Like, they are so cheap.
Oh, from their facility or something?
The Bengals are, like, the cheapest franchise known to man. They're, like, the Oakland A's of the NFL. And they were literally selling... like TVs and monitors out of their facilities and stadium. They were just inviting people to, and people were like, are you serious? You're a billion-dollar company and you're running a garage sale for some remanded like TVs out of your facility.
Well, shocking that they always place pretty close to last on those NFL player surveys.
And
right?
People were just dragging them for it.
Isn't it funny that their players have to walk across a busy street to get to practice? I think that's kind of funny.
It's a lot.
It's like you're driving down the street.
Well, their facility, I believe, is in the stadium, right? I think I think they practice in the stadium. I think it's
too cheap to buy another place.
I don't know if they have a full-on dedicated thing. I think it's kind of attached to the stadium, but I will look into that. Yeah. Well, I mentioned before the Buccaneers upgraded, we had the worst facilities of any sports team in the world. Our weight room was so small, they had to move some of it outside, and in the Florida heat, everything would rust. So we had to wear gloves because all the weights were covered in rust. We were right by an airport. So the entire time you were, and when I say by an airport, I mean like if you hopped a fence and ran 100 yards, there's the runway of the Tampa International Airport. So the entire time during practice, you didn't need to pump in noise because airplanes were landing and it always smelled like jet fuel. So people were like, oh my God, the fumes are really bad. And I S you not, when the thunderstorms rolled in, we had to go practice, not in an indoor facility. We walked across to the airport and we had walkthroughs in the parking garage of the Tampa airport. A NFL team that won a Super Bowl that year practiced in an airport.
I think that's awesome. Like if I'm getting home from my flight and I'm looking for my car and I do the boop, boop.
Yeah.
Boop, boop. And there's John Gruden yelling at some guy about the
100%
Spider 2 Y banana.
Yes. If you were landing, you could look out to your left and see the Buccaneers, the Super Bowl champions, practicing.
Nice little surprise.
Yeah. Gruden called it the woodshed because the facility was such a piece of crap. They just joked about it. We didn't even have our own lockers. If you were a really good player, you got your own locker. But if you were a slappy like me, we had to split lockers. NFL, baby.
Good times. All right. Well, anyway, Bengals, you know, the whole thing. Coming up next, it is, we're at In the News. They could barely believe it.
Thanks, Dad.
It's so good.
It really is.
Yeah, it's just...
It really
is. Let that sink in.
Here's Schultzy with SportsCenter. All right, nice to have you along. It's Thursday. It's Rop and Souk. Dan Lanning has already appeared on our show. If you miss anything, you can go back and podcast it anywhere you get your podcasts. You can get it on the Odyssey app. Right now, it is September 5, 2024. It is time for In the News. I am your noted newsman. Thank you very much.
I got breaking news. I've broken out the beer helmet.
Nice. All right. I noticed you did take it off for the Lanning interview.
Well, to be honest with you, this thing's kind of cumbersome and it's a little heavy.
Hope you put it in the fridge.
You know, we're going with this now. I'm going to see if this works. Because I've cracked the beer. I'm into my first pub beer.
Nice. But
I don't think this thing is working.
Yeah, Souk has one of those helmets with the two beer cans and then the straw down to the mouth.
I got to keep sucking.
Yeah, keep sucking.
Suki, be an expert at sucking.
That's right.
This is the worst beer delivery system of all time.
But hey, that pub beer is great.
Yeah, pub beer is great. I'm not certain. I'm going to have to work on this. I thought I'd break it out. Great. Now I'm just dripping everywhere. I thought I'd break this out for In the News, but I think this may have to wait. R&D may need some more time on this.
In the News brought to you by the Advocates Injury Attorneys at advocateslaw.com. Ken and Donnie. Donnikin, great people.
They didn't get me a beer helmet, though. Come on, Ken.
Advocateslaw.com. Okay, it's National Cheese Pizza Day.
Yeah, I got no problem with cheese pizza, but why would I get cheese pizza when I can have other pizza?
It's a good point. I'd never order cheese pizza.
No.
But if cheese pizza is an option amongst pizzas,
sure.
I love a slice or two.
Yeah, especially when it's like you get like a three cheese going on there. Because if you just got like a bastard, like, you know, if you just got like a Domino's slice with nothing on it, that's bush. But like Bellagio's has like a good five cheese pizza, I think it is. They do a nice job. It's because, you know, if you're going to do just cheese, you got to give me an array of cheeses.
It is also National Be Late for Something Day.
Oh, I'm all over that. Late for stuff all the time. I'm the anti-Dan Lanning.
Well, this is big news.
It is.
Crater Lake. You ever been down to Crater Lake?
I have. It's been years, but hasn't everyone been to Crater Lake?
Yeah, love me some Crater Lake.
Kind of goes without saying.
I mean, Crater Lake is gorgeous.
Sure.
But I gotta be honest about something. I've only been there once. And it was maybe 5 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been in the Northwest for 25 years.
It's been a while since I've been down there.
So it took me 20 years to get there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my confession.
Oh, all right. But you made it.
You don't seem to mind.
Well, no. I mean, look. Crater Lakes, I bet you there's a lot of places like that in the Northwest that you could say that about. And we got
like
a lot
what?
Of we got a lot of cool things, but like
is there a landmark in the Northwest that you have not been to yet in your life?
I mean, I've lived here a long, right. long time. But
me too. I don't think there's one that I haven't been to.
But I'll bet you like look.
Crater Lake might have been the last one for me.
Really?
Yeah.
That might be the last one?
To check it up. Well, I mean the last one to check off the list. Mm. I think I've been everywhere. I mean, I don't know what I mean, there's nothing really out.
All right, I'm going to say something here, and it's probably going to piss some people off, but it's just the truth.
Okay.
And if I moved here, mm-hmm. everyone's going to tell me one thing. You got to go to Multnomah Falls.
Yeah.
And I'm here to tell you, you don't got to go to Multnomah Falls.
Okay.
That thing, look, it's the most overrated thing about Oregon. It is. Mm. Like, everyone's like, oh, Multnomah Falls.
Yeah, you might be right.
It's just, so if you came here, I'll bet you there are plenty of people that have lived here for a long time and haven't gone to Multnomah Falls because enough people have told them, dude, you don't really got to go to Multnomah Falls.
Yeah, I wouldn't call Multnomah Falls overrated, but
it's overrated.
I think it's great. I just think there are other falls. I mean, if you really explore Oregon, I mean, there's other stuff that's even more beautiful. It's stuff that nobody ever talks about.
If I told the average person that came here, they're like, oh my God, one of the best things we have and everyone loves it, it's called Multnomah Falls, I think people are showing up expecting like, this just wonderful huge cascade of water, and you're gonna show up and you're like, dude, that thing's like 8 inches wide. You're like, and there's a bridge, and you're gonna be like, So I just think a lot of people probably have lived here and have not been out to Multnomah Falls, and then there's bad parking issues. So, and Crater Lake's probably one of those too, because it's, you know,
it's a ways off.
It's a ways off, and
sure.
you know, people talk about it, but if you're not like a real outdoorsman, you're like, oh, maybe.
You gotta pay for a permit now at Multnomah Falls, I think. It's not
much,
but
you have to book an appointment to go see it.
Yeah
because it's so popular.
Because of parking, yeah.
Because of what we're talking about. People
I just don't think it's a huge shocker that it took you that long to go see Crater Lake. Because, again, having seen it as a kid.
Well, that makes me feel better.
I probably haven't been out there in 15 years.
I mean, this isn't Oregon, but I'm 35, born and raised here in the state. Haven't been to Mount St. Helens. Like, still haven't ever taken the trek up there. Yeah, my whole life, never taken that actual trip. And now, I think it's been closed, the road to it, for a couple of years, so we can't even go until...
Well, I think one of them is. I don't know.
Yeah, but you got to go way... We're in Portland. You got to go way around to the other side. It takes, like, an extra 4 hours
to
do that.
The east side, yeah. Yeah. We almost ran out of gas on that side of the mountain once. It was pretty...
It's great up there, though.
Oh, my God. You want to talk about something that is not overrated?
Yeah.
Mount St. Helens.
It's fantastic.
Go up there. It's fantastic. Yeah, okay. It really is awesome.
Love fields, and they've done it.
And climb it if you can.
Yeah.
But, of course, Sook will call you too fat.
Yeah. Not studly enough. I can't do it. I can't fit into a 3X jersey, so no go for me.
Actually, no, you couldn't fit into a 3X jersey. I couldn't either. You ever put on a football jersey? I will bring in my jersey. Like, I'll bring in an NFL jersey. You ain't getting into it.
You're probably right.
It is the tightest, most uncomfortable thing known to man. So, nice try. You try to throw that one at me? No, that boomeranged right back and hit you in your faux hawk. By the way, hey, man, 48 years old, lived here my whole life in Portland, just got to Crater Lake first time about 3-4 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, because it is a little off the beaten path. You're right.
Yeah.
Mount Rainier, yes, been there. Wonderful.
Yeah, big fan.
I'm just trying to think of a landmark I haven't been to up here.
Sun River, right?
Say again?
You've been to Sun River.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
There's golf down there. I mean, come on.
Yeah, hello.
Duh,
I haven't been to, is it Sylvie's, the one with the goat caddies?
Oh, yeah.
I've never been out there.
I haven't been out there either.
But I mean, is that a landmark or just a resort?
I think it's a known thing, I would say.
But well, anyway, a black bear was spotted going for a swim in Crater Lake.
Oh, my goodness. I thought it was adorable.
It is adorable. They said that it lumbered down the caldera wall by Watchman Peak, swam across to Wizard Island.
So cool.
It only spent a couple of hours out there and got really bored, and then it swam back.
There's something about seeing bears in real life. They're majestic.
Yeah, it was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's video of it.
Like, yeah, it's adorable.
They took vid.
One of my favorites.
They said that's pretty rare. I mean, you would think that may happen there. Yeah. It doesn't.
No, even like being in Alaska, you don't see a lot of bears in the wild. You just don't. One of my fondest memories I've ever had is we were at Shasta. And we were on a houseboat, kind of out in one of the little fingers of the lake. And it was early morning, and everyone else was asleep on the boat. And I went out, and I was sitting on the end of the boat with my feet in the water. And a black bear came walking down. And you know, the little inlet across was maybe 10 to 15 feet, and it just sat there at the edge of the water and looked at me for maybe 30 seconds, drank a couple saps of, or sips of water, and then walked back up and then disappeared in the tree line. Wow. Not another sound. I will never forget it. It was one of like just one of those weird kind of serene moments. It's gorgeous.
Did you see the video of the kid? This was in somebody's backyard, and I'm not sure where this was. It was in the U.S. somewhere, but there's a kid sitting out around a fire pit on like an Adirondack chair.
Yeah.
And the camera from the porch is filming, and a freaking black bear gets up right behind him. Ooh. Like his...
And he doesn't realize it's
he
there.
He doesn't know it's there. He's playing on his phone.
Oh, boy.
And the dad comes out of the house and scares the black bear. Of course, the black bear runs off. Yeah. The kid had no idea that black bear... Gosh. I mean, dude, it was 5 inches from his head.
It's right behind... No, I haven't seen that. I gotta look it up now.
It can't really tell what the black bear was doing.
Yeah.
But
I don't know, maybe coming maybe in. He's like, maybe he was looking at some bear porn or something. He's like, hey, what do you got?
He's peering over his shoulder.
What do you got going on there? He's watching some yogi.
Coming up next, a three-part Who's Crazier? We have school bus barricade guy, another Max attack guy, or naked two backpack guy.
That guy.
The third guy?
Naked always amps up the crazy. Always.
It sure does.
Yeah.
We'll get to that next on In the News on The Fan. What's up? Hot 5 at 5 coming up 10 minutes. This is In the News, September 5, 2024.
By the way, for the club, I have pulled up the 20 must-see landmarks in the state of Oregon.
Okay.
And we'll see how many you've been to.
I love that.
Yeah.
Jotting that down.
Yeah.
I've got a power rank the crazy for you here. Got three different stories, three different men.
And just, it's always the man.
If you can call him that.
Although, you know, the women can be crazy too. I'm just saying, if you had someone that had committed something that was 30% less crazy than the next person, but the 30% less person did it naked, they win in a landslide. I don't know if there's anything that trumps naked when it comes to crazy. It's the
China. Old. Yeah, because you're right. Because like. Well, let's go through it here.
Yeah.
Because you do have two stories where these people, I mean, like some serious S went down.
Yeah, but one's
But the naked.
Naked
guy wasn't as serious.
But he's naked.
But he's naked. Yeah. So it ups the...
It adds the ooh factor.
Yeah, it's like, what
it's
is
like
wrong
you're
with
playing
this
at the casino and you do the little reel thing and then like there's like the multiplier. You don't know why, but there's one that like it multiplies it by like 18. That's the nudity.
So we'll first go to Lincoln City where officers there killed a man today.
That's not good.
Now this man,
well, maybe it is. I don't know.
Well, they were attempting to issue a parking complaint to him.
Oh, isn't it crazy? You want to talk about crazy, dude? It's a parking ticket, man, and yet it somehow escalated into someone dying.
So they were attempting to issue him a parking complaint. He was inside a converted school bus, and he fired out of the school bus at them.
Yeah, can't do that.
So after firing shots, he takes off in the bus. The bus was later found abandoned in the parking lot of the Sea Gypsy Motel on Highway 101.
The old Sea Gypsy.
Then they said they think he ran onto the beach. They couldn't find him. They get a tip that he's in a house. They go to the house, and he is inside. They confirm he's inside. Mm-hmm. They get a search warrant. They start talking to him, but he is making threatening statements. They back away. He starts a fire in the house, comes out on the roof with a rifle, and they spray bullets into him. He falls off the roof, and he dies.
Boy, I'll tell you what. I haven't heard the other two. That is, like, first ballot Hall of Fame right down the checklist. Crazy.
School bus parking violation.
Yes.
To running out onto the beach, to hiding in a home. Yeah. To starting a fire and going onto the roof with a rifle, and well, the rest is history.
That's the only thing that story lacks to be an all-time crazy is nudity. That guy, holy cow!
Lincoln City too.
Yeah, what do you? This is just what do you have going on where you're like, I'm not getting a parking ticket today, but you know what I will do?
That's crazy. I mean, that's what
that's,
I mean.
Yeah,
the dumb crazy. Escalation.
Yeah. It's crazy. So this is number two. A Portland man is being held without bail after he allegedly brutally beat a victim with a pipe and knocked him unconscious on a TriMet Max platform.
That's not good.
This week.
Not good.
That's why I don't want to ride the Max, ever.
The male victim was waiting for the MAX train Monday at the TriMet Prescott platform along Interstate Avenue when another man approached him with a metal pipe. Police said the victim told them the man hit him several times and punched him repeatedly, hitting him so hard he was knocked unconscious. When he came to, he reported being in extreme pain and believed his arm was broken.
I would assume so. Getting hit with a pipe's no, it's no walk in the park.
They did obtain footage of the attack, circulated a flyer with the guy's face. They ended up arresting him near a Plaid Pantry. Shocking. His name is Cody James Charetta. He is a 34-year-old male. He was arraigned Tuesday on charges of first and second degree assault, unlawful use of a weapon, and interfering with public transport.
Yeah, I mean, that level of crazy, I mean, that's just an old-fashioned, you know, that's an old-fashioned, like, four crazy. It's just bad because you got beat with a pipe.
Can I add something?
Yeah, go for it.
About our perp here?
Yeah.
He has an open case from 2023. In that incident, a man had a phone stolen out of his vehicle and saw the suspect identified as this guy, Cody James Charetta. He ran over to a nearby homeless camp. While there, he was confronted by Charetta, who allegedly pulled a Glock out of his sweatshirt and said, "I will effing kill you and dump you right here."
All right. Well, that kicks it up a notch.
One more thing. Charetta also tried to slice the victim's arm twice with a sword.
See, now we're into it, because like the gun and the pipe, whatever. But when you add a sword, because it's easy to find a gun, it's easy to find a pipe. A sword? We got to put some effort into finding a sword.
And now, in a stunning turn of events, he did not show up for his court date.
Now, did the guy on the MAX platform that was attacked, was that a robbery? Because it just was just a random, he just...
Yeah, dude, this guy's crazy.
Well, he's crazy.
What the hell?
I mean, by the way, the bus, someone said, have you, like, I looked up.
Yeah.
The bus?
Yeah.
The bus itself is a 9 out of 10 crazy. Like, that's not a normal bus. That's a crazy bus. Like, that's just that bus alone. That's more crazy than the sword. And normally, sword trumps bus, not this bus.
Okay, and then the third guy, police are asking for the public's assistance in finding a man who's accused of exposing himself to a female jogger on the Springwater Corridor.
Yeah.
This happened Wednesday around 10:30 in the morning. Police described the man as a Caucasian male in his 30s, about 5 feet 8.
Could you describe the penis? I think it's a valid. How am I supposed to know?
He has a shaved head.
What was that quote from The Office? Michael Scott, show us your penis!
Schulte kind of has a shaved head.
He was wearing all black clothing, and he was riding a bicycle with two backpacks. When police arrived, officers talked to a woman who reported an inappropriate and threatening encounter. The woman told deputies she was jogging when a male on a bicycle passed her. Jumped into the bushes further up the trail. She then said the man emerged from the bushes naked with his hand on his gents, and he tried to grab her.
Ooh, that's not good. So he pulled an old peekaboo, was wearing clothes, disappears into the bushes, and is like, ha!
Yeah. Police say the woman managed to get away from the man and got help.
Well,
so who power ranked the crazy here? What do we got?
I mean, this is a big upset, because, I mean, clearly, bus wins. Bus guy wins.
Yeah, he's the only one that's dead.
Yeah, that's a whole other thing. And I hate to do this, because like I said, I think nudity usually trumps all. The nudity doesn't appear to be crazy. That just appears to be a perp. Like, he's just a perv. He's a sexual predator.
Yeah, but isn't that... I mean, aren't you crazy to... to manifest it in that way? Like, what do you...
I think you're just...
What do you think's going to happen?
I think you're just a perv. Now, like, if you told me that this guy had, like, broken into a store and was stealing things while naked, now that crazy... This is just... This isn't crazy nudity. This is sexual perv nudity.
Okay.
So I'm going to put that third. In a shocking upset, the one dude that's naked is the least crazy. He's the most perverted, but he's the least crazy.
Ha!
Bus guy, though, man.
Yeah, that's wild.
That's number one.
Wild story.
And why light the fire in the building that you're in?
Why do any of it? It was a parking violation.
Yeah, but I really feel like the building fire, like, that's not doing you any favors for the predicament that you're in.
In the news on September 5, 2024, as always, brought to you by the Advocates, injury attorneys at advocateslaw.com. That's advocateslaw.com. Hot 5 at 5 is next on The Fan.